Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to you all. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and as you just heard, you have arrived at the location of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love slide, devolve, and fall into the pit of BS, which for the purposes of what I'm here every week to tell you about, BS is bait and switch, and it can be other ideas of BS if it so fits your own definition. For me, I am tired of the BS. I'm tired of the baiting and switching. I'm tired of the, you say this, but you do that. So let's be single-minded, single-focused on love. And so what I'm going to talk to you today is just the simplicity of love is the only answer. Hold on to that small sentence. Love is the only answer. Whatever the question is, love is the only answer. And I know that sounds simplistic, but trust me, I'm going to unpack that for you today in a way that'll help you see that love is the only answer. All right, before we get into the thick of that fray, I want to lead you in a couple of things that'll get us started off right. And then I want to talk to you about love is the only answer. But in order to get there, I want to lead you in a creed that I've written, and I call it lovingly, Love's Creed. Lovingly, of course. Love's Creed. It's just something that I've treasured. I wrote, edited, and carried it with me for the past decade. And now it's something I carry toward any place where I have a chance to share or think with some people or I speak. I've shared Love's Creed with hundreds and hundreds of people all over the region here, and obviously here on our radio broadcast. So let me give you Love's Creed in total, then we'll go back and I'm going to ask you to repeat after me, okay? Buckle up, buttercup. Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I am not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Let's go back and I want to ask you, repeat after me, okay? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there you have it, Love's Creed. If you'd like a copy of it, just send me an email at randydeanministries@gmail.com. Randy Dean Ministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail. And I won't BS you. I won't bait and switch you. If you request a copy of Love's Creed, I'll send it to you. And without any request for anything else or put you on a mailing list so I can bug the living daylights out of you, I won't do that to you because that's BS, all right? All right. Next thing I like to do as we start the broadcast is to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. Now, if you're new to this moment, you know that I am patient with and compassionate toward people who do not know the Lord's Prayer by heart, which is a growing number. There's no doubt in my mind that most people that may be listening at this time may not know the Lord's Prayer by heart. And you need to hear me say, I have a trainload of grace for you in that. Be patient with yourself. If you want to learn it little at a time and you'll get it. But if you don't know it right now, let me lead you. Just hang on to my words. Now, if you do know the Lord's Prayer, feel free, please say this out loud, like we did Love's Creed. Let your ears hear what your mouth is saying and your heart is clinging to. Okay? So let's pray this most prayed prayer in all of human history in the words that the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That prayer is a stabilizing force for my life, and I know millions of people are likely to hang on to that when everything else seems to go wonky and weird and sideways in the world. Lord's Prayer, most prayed prayer in history. Join it every day, every week, every moment if you must, but make it a part of your meditation. All right, as I promised, today I want to talk to you about the simple sentence. Love is the only answer. At the risk of being overly simplistic, at the risk of sounding like I've got one size fits all here, I'm telling you this sentence carries the weight of humankind. Love is the only answer. How do we trespass through this life when we are trespassers? How do we trespass and recognize, oh my goodness, I've been stomping quite violently or perhaps unconsciously on other people's lives and goods? What should I do? Turn to love. When we fall and faceplant emotionally or psychologically, what do we do about managing our life forward? What do we do about putting our life back together? Love is the only answer. Now let me turn the tables on that a bit. What do we do when somebody else face plants and causes us harm, causes me harm? What do we do when somebody's trespassing on my life and causing all kinds of damage to my emotional property or even maybe my physical property? What do we do? How do we navigate someone's trespassing? Love is the only answer. Now, let me explain that just a tiny bit more, and then I'll get into more of the thick of it all. When I see somebody trespassing, or when I have trespassed, now I want you to hear that carefully, because to the degree we see others' failures, we are seeing ourself in some form or another. But when somebody's trespassing or stomping unkindly or accidentally in my life, love teaches me that there's something else going on in this person's life. Something else has happened in this person's life. Or when I am the trespasser, I need to be reminded of with self-love to say, there are places in my life that are broken because I didn't learn a lesson I should have learned, or I wasn't taught a lesson I could have learned. And love is the only answer. Love is the only answer for a trespasser. Love is the only answer for me when I'm a trespasser. I've got to see it through the eyes of love and find some way to manage and navigate the trespass through love. Now, I'm not suggesting for one minute that a trespasser who is blatantly and in some ugly and horrible way is just wantonly causing harm. I'm not saying that they just get away with murder. That's not at all my point here. My point is to understand even the most blatant trespasser in the context of something is broken in this human being. And even when I'm the blatant trespasser, oh yes, you can be and I can be that blatant trespasser. Love is the answer to find the answer to what's cooking inside of my own kitchen and my own soul. What's burning in my kitchen? Why have I allowed myself to be a blatant trespasser? I guarantee you somewhere in the answer to that question is the sentence, love is the only answer. When your child, let's just talk to parents or grandparents. When your child or grandchild is flopping around and all kinds of mistakes and errors, when that's happening, I promise you, at some level, this simple sentence is going to help you. Love is the only answer. I'm looking beyond parental relationships. How about being on the side of an adult child with a parent in your life that's frustrating you? See, I can speak to that. I've lived that. I know on some level what that is. And so what I've had to do, even with both of my parents who have passed on from this life, I still remind myself, no matter what they did or didn't do, how they did, what they did, when they did it, love is the only answer. What I have to stir in my mind is a love for Earl and Helen. That's my mom and dad. A love for them who were doing only what they knew to do at the time, but also what they didn't know to do at the time, because they were also living in a shortage of instruction, in a shortage of life university, the school of hard knocks. Listen, I'm absolutely sure that I've made my fair share of parental mistakes, and I'm absolutely hopeful that our two children, the children of Randy and Ginger Dean, will walk with the simple sentence as they think about us as their parents. I hope that they will walk with the simple sentence, love is the only answer. Now, again, even with that simple sentence, there's nothing in me, and I hope you've, if you've been here before, you know I'm not being simplistic or la-ti-da, never mind, just be loving. No, I'm talking about a complexity of love as the only answer. The simple sentence is just like one of the commandments of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not murder. Jesus unpacked later, hundreds and hundreds of years later, when he said, You say don't murder, but I'm saying when you say you fool, or when you've hated someone without a cause, it's equal to violating that commandment. And the point there being, love is the only answer. There's more complexity, even when you say thou shalt not kill. If we look at any convicted murderer in our criminal justice system, I can promise you, and you know this is true, that there are a variety of broken roads in the life of that murderer. There's a whole list of bridges out ahead, do not go forward, in that person's life, leading up to the crime of murder. My point here is, even the most extreme crime, we can look at the face of a criminal convicted of a horrendous crime and say, well, love is the only answer. I have no way to understand how this person got there except to say somewhere love was missing. Somewhere love was totally abused and used in ways that it wasn't love at all. It was just some kind of human mechanism that turned this dear soul, this poor soul, this broken soul, this miserable soul, this angry soul, that turned them into an ultimate violator that led them to murder. Love is the only answer. Love is the only answer. Let me just pull another Bible example for you. There are passages of Scripture that teach that we're not to punish a thief if they've been stealing out of their hunger, out of their desire to eat, that we are not to punish them on the same level as some blatant black and white cold-blooded thief who's just stealing for the pleasure of stealing. But if you got a hungry soul, if you got a mama or a daddy trying to raise a family and they're desperate and they end up stealing, the judgment there is got to be, well, let's take it to what I'm talking about today. For that thief is the only answer. Well, by the way, love's the only answer for the blatant thief, the thief who's just doing it for the joy of stealing. Love's the only answer, because why would that person steal for the sheer reckless joy of it, other than something is massively broken there? There's something deeply sideways in that soul that would cause them to think that stealing is a way of living a life. Love, even there, is the only answer. I've been thinking a lot again about the Genesis story of Cain and Abel, where Cain rose up and killed his brother. Now, if you take that story literally or figuratively, however you take it, Cain is killing a brother, first of all. Second of all, the potential of humankind being able to propagate and move on. This is fratricide is what that's called, a brother killing a brother. But it's also the potential of destroying the human race on some level. Now, God comes along after Cain has risen up and killed his brother Abel and says, "Where's your brother? I don't see him." Now, is that a story about God not knowing something? No. It's a story about God, in the phrase that I'm using today, love is the only answer, searching for Cain to find in himself honesty and a means of looking at his own heart. Well, the rest of that story is this. Cain is now the first murderer. God is now faced with the precedent. What do I do with the first murderer? I'm overly simplifying, but bear with me. And what does God do? God releases Cain to go about his life and warns that anyone who punishes Cain will find punishment in their life. God doesn't exercise capital punishment. Stay with me now. You say, well, the Bible says, well, you got to kill a killer. But in the beginning, it was not so. It was God let Cain walk. Now, I've lived in a lot of scenarios, whether it be church boards or a school board or governmental processes or a nonprofit boards. When we do something, we recognize as a board, we set a precedent that somebody else is going to come along and say, yeah, but what you did with somebody else, you should do with me. And I'm quite certain God was thinking about the precedent he was setting when he released Cain. And here's what I'm certain of right now. Now, I don't have time to truly unpack all of that, except to tell you the precedent God was setting was a foretelling of the coming of Jesus, who would forgive the sin of the world. Now, is that giving all of us some license to sin? No. I'm fond of saying we sin without a license quite fine. You know, we're all pretty good at sinning. But God is wanting to set the precedent that no matter what your brokenness, how bad you've been, how wrong you've been, how up you've been, how down you've been, how sideways life is, and what crime you commit, love is the only answer, folks. Somehow finding love in that mix is what God is looking for in your life and in mine. And he was looking for it in Cain. And Cain went about his life with God's warning that no one should harm Cain. What a phenomenal story if we look at it for face value. So to that end, when you look at the trespasses against you in life, when you look at the trespasses you committed in life, when you've considered people who have done you wrong or people you have done wrong, what is it we want for ourselves? Love. What do we then do unto others as we would have them do unto us? Listen up. If you want love for your trespasses, then do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You want love as much as God loved Cain in the middle of the first murder. Now, None of that excuses a crime, but all of that calls us to something higher and better, more beautiful, more demanding of who we are as human beings, more charging in our thinking to be better about living in society, living in our families, living in our businesses, living with all kinds of people everywhere, to live in a manner where we recognize love is the only answer if we're going to survive as a human race. Love is the only answer. It doesn't mean I'm going to be a nicety nice guy all the time. It doesn't mean that I'll never get angry. It doesn't mean that I'll never be critical of somebody. But it does mean at the end of the day or at the end of whatever process I'm working with, I'm going to stop my process of hate and turn it toward love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. Remember, love's creed. So to that end, when brokenness pulls me into the hatred cycle, my creed, love's creed, stops me in my tracks and demands something of me so far and away better and bigger and more beautiful, better, bigger, and beautiful, and that is love. Well, I want to draw this to a close with a longer quote than I'm used to giving here, but it's from Thomas Merton, a monk of great author inspiration. He wrote this in 1957. Listen to this carefully. We must revolutionize our thinking, revolutionize our actions, and we must have the courage to revolutionize our relations among the nations of the world. Clichés of yesterday will do no longer good. To bring this home to human beings all over the world is the most important and fateful function intellectuals have ever had to shoulder. Will they have enough courage to induce the peoples of the world to change their deep-rooted national traditions into a most radical fashion? Well, love, he says, is the only answer. But medieval talk about love does nothing. What will love do today? What is love's place in the enormous dimensions of a modern world? We have to love in a new way and with a new attitude. And I suppose perhaps the first thing to do is to admit, listen carefully, here it comes. First thing we have to do is to admit that I do not know the meaning of love in any context, ancient or new. Whoo! What a mouthful. What a heartful. Let us begin with that simple sentence. Love is the only answer. And as Thomas Merton said, first thing I need to do is to admit that I do not know the meaning of love in any context, whether ancient or new. Well, that's why the No BS Bishop is here week in and week out to just call you, to beckon you to come join me in a marathon race, a mountain climb, a pilgrimage toward love, never assuming that at any point we've got it all figured out, never, but to reach for the complexity, but the solidity of love as the only answer. Well, let's close with a couple of practices, shall we? I like to lead you in these practices to make you aware that this is a traveling journey and a mercy we need in that traveling journey. And what I invite you to do is learn how to breathe. When we're pressed and stressed, breathing may very well save your physical life. So in the count of three, I want you to take the deepest breath you can down to your belly and hold it as long as you can. 1, 2, 3. Inhale. Now hold it as long as you can. And exhale. Doing that brings your mind down to a level playing field, brings your blood pressure down a point or two, slows your heart down when you're anxious or afraid. Breathing is that one thing all humans, all living things have in common. Breathe well. Well, and then I, I want to also lead you in another practice that if love is the only answer, then maybe we ought to learn how to tell people, I love you. Not maybe. We need to learn how to tell people with eye contact, slowing the three most charmed and magical and holy words in the human language, slow them down and say it intentionally and beautifully. Abundance of heart involved. I love you. It's weird. It's awkward. It's shocking. It's startling. And the reason it's startling and awkward is we don't do it enough. We are in this human race on a race toward love or hate. Let's race toward love and be determined to look people in the eye and say, I love you. All right, I'm going to sign off by telling you once again, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have more time. Be present. Be kind. Love more. Love now. Mother Teresa said once, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. And this is Bishop Randy Dean asking you, go out there and do something beautiful, please. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. May we, as the people of love, knowing that love is the only answer, may we rise and shine with the beauty of love. Get up and do it, folks. I challenge you. I dare you. I double dog dare you. Come on. Join me in this revolution of love to change the world we're walking through and living through towards something more compatible to the human condition. All right, I got to go. I'm running long here. So please hear me when I say, I love you. God bless you. And happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com. And we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.